We know what needs to be done.
The solution is on the table, but there's no prepared to come to the table.
Well, it's time we let dolphins rule the world.
Well, we had a solution, but they shut the bugger down.
I find his remarks deeply offensive.
Yeah. We should all sit down together and have a nice cup of tea.
I give the youngsters solutions, and they do not listen.
We know what needs to be done.
Well, the solution is to play Dean Saunders up front.
And now it's time for the Mark Steele solution.
Good evening and welcome to the Mark Steele Solution, the programme where each week I come up with a radical proposal to change all of our lives for the better. And this week's proposal concerns charity. Because I felt uneasy about charity right from when I was a kid, when we had this headmistress, Miss Ellis, who in the middle of assembly could go, "Now I would like to give my special thanks to Timothy Chandwick of Class 3BX, who this week raised £8.50 for the..." You boy, you do not tap a pencil in the middle of assembly. Now stand up, walk backwards out of this room. When I see you afterwards, I will give you such a thrashing that you won't be able to sit down for a month, you rancid, horrible little piece of sludge. Guide dog fun. And the first charity event you ever come across in life is the Harvest Festival. And everybody takes in this rusty tin of pears that... that your mum's found at the back of the larder, except for the snotty kid who brings in a chef. Who stands up at Sunday school and says, "Bonjour, today I will prepare for the old people les poivres royaux chocolat rusty pears in chocolate." And then there was the Blue Peter appeal. "This year we're asking you to send us all your unwanted mud." And then they'd have this chart to show how much had been sent in, and they'd deliberately make the target something like one bucket of mud, so that the next week they could go, "Just look at our Blue Peter mudometer! It goes right past the target, round the studio, out into the car park, onto the A40, round the hangar lane gyratory system, up past Aylesbury, and ends up here in this colony of turtles on Easter Island." And yet we're all supposed to think that charity is the most marvellous thing in the world, which is why tonight's solution is that anybody who gives to charity should be jailed. Now, some people may say that this is a little harsh, but we're going to show that our system is the only way to help people who depend on charity, and it would also put an end to events like this.
To this year's Begathon. We're going to be raising squillions of pounds for all sorts of good causes. And to start us off, here's someone with a magnificent cheque for us. It's the Managing Director of Skull Lager, Sir Anthony Skull.
As the Managing Director of Skull Lager, it gives me great pleasure to present this Skull cheque on behalf of Skull Lager and Skull employees to the Skull Famine Relief Appeal. Well, you know what they say.
When you're a refugee with nothing to eat, an ice cold skull goes down a treat.
But now a moving appeal.
Hello, I'm an actor. I don't know if you remember me. I've done a lot of comedy in my time, but life isn't all laughs. Do you know, it's 10 years now since I played the nosy neighbour in And Mother Makes Three. Since then, I've been demonstrating blenders in Debenhams. So please, 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 could I appear on this year's Begathon and relaunch my fading career?
Terrific! Now let's go over to Somalia for this report from Paul Daniels.
Wouldn't it be nice if you could put famine in a box, tap a magic wand and make it disappear? But unfortunately, it's not that easy. Back to you, Anthea.
Please, keep that money rolling in. Let's go over to Guildford, where they're collecting something rather special.
Now then, we're asking you to send as many Jimmy Savills as you can spare. So far, we've got 3 Jimmy Savills, one to run the marathon, one to wear jewellery at the camera, and one to say, well done, young man, in children's faces, and traumatise them for the rest of their lives.
So please, keep those Jimmy Savills rolling in. From Begathon. Just time to thank Paul, Jimmy, Lenny, Cheggers, but most of all, thanks to all those starving people in Africa, without whom this marvellous event just wouldn't have been possible. Bye!
Now, there is no doubt that most people who put a quid in the blind box or rattle a tin in the Arndale Centre do so out of genuine compassion because they want to do something to help people that are worse off than themselves. So why threaten them with jail? Well, firstly, let's look at the motives of some of the other people involved in charity, like pop stars. Now, how can you possibly watch someone like Phil Collins going, just £20,000 could provide this village with clean water, without thinking, well, bloody well, give it to them then. He could probably raise that much just looking down the back of his settee. Oh, I've got in here scissors, biro, paperclip, divorce papers. £20,000, there are. And if you've got a new album out, performing the songs off it to 3 billion people is not entirely charitable, is it? They've probably got songs already written just waiting for the disaster to happen. And a lot of the people who run these charities get these huge salaries and expenses, so they're just like any other business. I expect at the shareholders meeting they get up and say, now I've studied our accounts, and there's good news and bad news. The fundraising side is showing enormous profits. However, the giving it to Africa side of our operation is losing money hand over fist. But some of these charities aren't even charities at all. For instance, private schools are registered as charities. How can that be right? Although there is something to be said for giving money to an institution which takes upper class kids and beats them with a stick. Then there's the Salvation Army. But even they're in it for their own reasons. They're trying to sell religion. Like last year, they gave out these Christmas cards which you could fill in and they'd give it to a homeless person. But you look inside and there's things written in there like, Lord Almighty, God's sweet love still shines down on you, although the only thing you've got's a tin of special brew. I felt like crossing it out and putting, it's Christmas time, you've got no roof, there is no God, and there's the proof. And finally, there's the banks. In just 5 years, Western banks made over £200 billion in interest from the Third World. Now, these people could wipe out starvation tomorrow if they stopped making money out of the debts, and there they are on Live Aid boasting that they're helping to raise money for Africa. At least in the past, people who caused that many deaths didn't then go on telly pretending that they were helping them out.
Hello, and welcome to Third Reich Aid. Now tonight, we're raising money for victims of the Nazis, and here to explain how to make your donations, please welcome Heinrich Himmler!
As the managing director of the SS, it gives me great pleasure to present this SS check on behalf of SS employees to the SS victim relief appeal.
Well, that is simply marvellous.
And remember, you can make your payments at any branch of the Gestapo. But that is not all. Today, for every person who joins the Hitler Youth, we will donate another 5 Deutschmarks.
Heinrich, you really are the nicest person I've ever met. How about a round of applause?
And so there are all sorts of people who abuse people's charitable instincts and use charity for their own ends. But it could be argued, all right, charity may have its faults, but at least it does some good. So jailing people who give to it is a little unfair. But could it be that charity not only does no good, it actually makes things worse? Firstly, look at the image of disabled people that some of these charities portray, like those Variety Sunshine coach adverts that you get in the cinema. Goal! He's good at table football, this little rascal. This here is little Timmy. He suffers from an illness called cerebral palsy. Isn't he marvellous? Go on, Timmy, do that twitch. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it dreadful? You know, last time I saw a spasm like that, well, when my mother-in-law had a finger stuck in plug socket. But seriously, the only way to help poor little Timmy is for you to send your money. Because when you're stuck in wheelchair, what you need to cheer you up is a trip to Bognor in a Variety Sunshine Court.
that right, Timmy?
Isn't he marvellous?
Go on, do that twitch again. Go on. Go on. Like you did in rehearsal. Go on. Well, normally, ladies and gentlemen, he does it better than that. Oh, look. He's written something on bit of paper. Little devil. What does it say, Timmy? Stop making me out to be thick. I've got a degree in geology. P.S. You were crapping Cinderella. Ungrateful sods. You know, I had a party of this lot in all the bloody night at Yarmouth, tipping over each other and spilling popcorn all over the bloody floor. I don't know why I bother. This is off, isn't it? Oh, bugger it. Another way that charity can actually be harmful is the effect it has on campaigns. Because if you're a charity and you want to get the maximum amount of money and famous names attached to your cause, you have to be respectable. So you end up compromising your views. Imagine what would have happened if Robin Hood had decided to run his operation along the lines of a charity.
Robin! I bring great news about the Sheriff of Nottingham.
You mean you've captured him, put him to the sword and seized his ill-gotten gold so that we may spread it amongst the poor?
No, but he's agreed to be our patron. We can use his name on our headed notepaper.
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, respected by the nation. Robin Hood, Robin Hood and his charitable foundation. Takes from the poor, gives some of it back to the poor. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Sir Robin Hood.
Another harmful effect of charity is that instead of a problem being something that can be solved, it makes people accept that it's there forever. We can't get rid of famine or homelessness, we can only ease the effects. Like if some bloke came round your house every day and hit you on the head with a baseball bat. And then charity would say, look at this poor man, just one paracetamol a day will stop him getting a headache. And on top of this, the whole philosophy of charity accepts that what should be a right becomes an option, which is what's happened to the health service. They see something can be funded by charity, they say, we're not paying for it then. Although, of course, they never say they're cutting spending because they've got their own language. They try to make out that they're doing you a favour, like the Job Seekers Allowance, we're helping you out. There'll be another one soon. They'll say, because we are a caring society, our senior citizens are entitled to a level of state benefit. I'm clearly here not talking about those people who have deliberately made themselves old in order to qualify for benefit. But so that these people no longer feel that they are a burden on the state, we are going to give them a feeling that they're being helped with a leg up to their next stage of life and replace the old age pension with a death seeker's allowance. It's like when they said London Zoo was shut in for lack of money, and I thought, yeah, they'll say they're replacing it with wild animals in the community. You'll go down the railway station. You'll go down the railway station, there'll be a couple of lions there going, you've got a spare zebra, mate. And the proof that charity lets them off the hook is that whenever there's something they really care about, they don't leave it to be funded by donations.
Hello!
Hello. On today's programme, we're very lucky to have with us Sergeant Major De La Soul.
Mm. Now, his troops are surrounded by enemy forces in a place where it's very hot.
Unless we act quickly, they're all going to die.
So please, 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 send in all your bottle tops so he can buy a tank.
Actually, Leslie, the plan is to take the bottle tops in a tipper truck and dump them on the enemy.
See, charity encourages people to accept that you can't expect the government to pay. Oh, it might be nice if they would, but they're not going to, so therefore it's up to you to put money in the bucket. And if there isn't enough money raised, whose fault is it? Yours. Which is another harmful effect of charity. It lets the people who are really to blame off the hook and makes you feel guilty.
Hello?
Ah, good afternoon. Can I ask, do you want this old man to go blind?
No, dear.
Well, give me some money then.
And this is the final insult of charity. It's a tax on the poor. The average person gives £120 a year to charity, which is a far higher proportion of their income than what the rich give. So millions of people, for the best possible motives, want to do something to help the poor and needy, and they end up making things worse. So what else can you do but say that for their own good, if they do it again, they're going to jail? Now, before we see why that's the only answer, let's hear from our regular correspondent, live from number 9, Begonia Close, the voice of the cul-de-sac, Mr. Cul-de-sac.
This is the sound, this is the sound of the suburbs.
Charity! Don't talk to me about charity! I had one of them Oxfam people round here saying, would you sponsor a child in Bangladesh? I said, there you are, 5p a mile, that's all he's getting. But the biggers you get nowadays, I had one on the bus pestering me for 50p. I said, get yourself a job. He said, I'm the bus conductor, Mr. Cul-de-sac. I said, well, pay your own fare then. And what about that London Marathon? Look at him, 26 miles, dressed as a chicken. No wonder he didn't win. What about a drought in Somalia? And I said, well, what are they doing living in the desert then? If they want water, they should go and live where they got some, like Yarmouth. Don't talk to me about crop failure. You don't see Bob Geldof making a record for me just because the slugs have been at me marrows. £20,000 for a new liver. You can get one down the calf for £2.50. Look at the money they spend on guide dogs for the blind just because they can't see. I can't climb a tree. Nobody buys me a gibbon. Where's the ratepayers' money? They could have spent that money hanging people. I saw the Rotary Club down at the shopping centre rattling their tins. What a racket! I've a good mind to turn up at one of their meetings with Snoop Doggy Dog and a 1,000-watt PA system and say, how's that for any other business? Oh, see how they like that different then. And what about the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds? I said, I hope none of that money goes to emus. They can't even fly. It's an outrage. Writing some letters to the charity people. Here they are. Dear charity people, I went down to that Dr. Bernardo's. He was bloody useless. Couldn't do a thing for me. Earache. It's time you struck him off. Here's another one. Dear charity people, yesterday one of your collectors left me an envelope. That's no good to me. It's got Christian Aid written all over it. Who am I going to send that to? I'll buy my own in future. Here's another one. Dear charity people, why oh 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 why. That's as far as I got with that one. It's coming on, don't you think? Thank you, Mr. Cul-de-sac. And so what other alternatives are there? Well, one answer is just to not give yourself. But this is just embarrassing, because it means going through the shopping centre, scurrying past people, rattling tins, going, oh, I already gave you something, mate, 1962 or something. Sorry, I've only got an £80 note. Sometimes it makes you feel like what you should say is, £3 to save someone's eyesight, you can buy a tub of posh ice cream for that. Now, there is another alternative, of course, which is to fund things through the National Lottery. But this is even worse, because it's still charity, but you also have half the country coming up with crackpot schemes on how to win it. So, instead of these programmes on how to win the lottery, they should have this.
Hello, today we're going to learn how to talk rubbish about the National Lottery. First of all, there's the scientific approach.
Well, you see, you've got to go for the eye numbers, right? Because the two numbers, see, it means there's more paint on the balls, see? So they're slightly heavier, so they're bound to come out first, aren't they?
Or you could try talking mystic rubbish.
I'm getting a strong feeling about this week's big winner. He comes from the Westminster area. His grandfather smoked cigars. And I'm seeing the letters MP. And the amazing thing is, he's going to win £12 million without even buying a ticket.
But if all else fails, there's nothing quite like the ill-informed statistician.
Well, you won't get 33 again for a while now. It's come up 3 weeks running.
This method assumes that A, the little plastic balls have a memory, and B, that they have a sense of fair play. So that each week, as the tub begins to spin, this sort of discussion is taking place between the balls.
Oi, 33, get back. Have you spin out 3 weeks in a row, that 33? Someone else had a chance.
Yeah, what about 24?
So clearly the only answer is to jail anybody who gives to charity. So how would our scheme work?
Fund a kidney machine. Your local hospital needs a kidney machine. We're relying on you.
All right, madam, you're nicked. I'm arresting you for incitement to commit a crime.
Get off me!
Come along, Mrs. Bottomley.
You would, of course, still be allowed to go on the street selling the big issue, but only if you were going to nick all the money and spend it on special brew. So giving to charity would become almost impossible unless you went round late at night to a CD dealer.
Who is it?
It's Dave in.
Who wants to know?
Phil sent me.
All right, what do you want?
What you got?
Oxfam Shelter Save the Swan.
Here's £2, Oxfam.
Tough luck, son. Undercover charity squad. You're nicked.
And another advantage is some of the jobs that would be cut.
Good evening. More job losses tonight as 250 Jimmy Savills have been made redundant. We spoke to a delegation.
Now then, this is a tragedy. For over 500 years, this country has had a Jimmy Savile industry. Now, there are only 30 working Jimmy Savills left, and we will have to import cheaply produced Jimmy Savills from abroad.
The government also revealed that Princess Anne was to be wound down and announced the immediate closure of Mother Teresa.
And so, with all these advantages, what would a typical telethon event be like?
Welcome to this year's Keep Your Money-thon. Last year we raised 87 pence, but the person who sent it is doing 4 years in Wandsworth. So tonight we're hoping to go one better and raise absolutely nothing. So please, please, keep those donations. Now we've had a magnificent start, and Mrs. Lansdowne of Southampton has rung in and pledged Phil Collins to give her £20,000. And now let's meet someone whose right to a decent life doesn't depend on tonight's show.
This little rascal is Dr. Timothy Spencer, who's now the world's leading geologist. 28 years ago, he were trying to tell us he'd worked out there were a gold mine that stretches right across Sudan. And now he's paid for me to go there in a variety sunshine coach, so I won't be blocking up end up here at Yarmouth.
Now let's join Paul Daniels in Sudan.
Wouldn't it be nice if the Western Bank stopped making huge profits out of third world countries so they could grow food to eat instead of cash crops? And if you needed a kidney machine, you just took the money off the chairman of British Gas. Well, luckily, it was that easy.
That's all we've got time for. Just time to thank Paul, Phil, Dr. Timothy and whoever it was who decided to jail people for giving money to charity. Good night.
And it wouldn't be long before you had this happening in the most drought-ridden areas of Africa.
People of Sudan, as your resident chef, I hope you enjoyed your main course. For dessert, I have prepared for the whole village a little delicacy which I call le poivre riz au chocolat, rusty pears in chocolate.
The Mark Steele Solution was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, who also performed it with Debbie Isett and Kim Wall. The producer was Phil Clark.